Our scripture reading this morning is taken from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. And Jesus instructs his church. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The prisoner was suddenly being released from the dungeon prison he had been in. And that was somewhat of a surprise to him because the crimes that he had committed were rather large. But it even surprised him more to find out who had asked for his release. The very king himself, the king against whom his crimes had been committed. But along with his release came also a special request from the king. And that was, I want you to come to me with your requests, and I will grant them based upon what I think and know is best for you. The released prisoner certainly knew that he wasn't worthy of this very special gift, and yet he chose to then make use of it and come with his request to the king, because the king had asked him to do so. You and I, by the grace of God, have been released from the shackles and the prison of sin, death, and hell through the work of God himself for us through his Son. We have been completely freed of all of that, have everlasting life ahead of us. And the very one who has freed us has now come and said, I want you to bring your requests to me. Bring your petitions before me. Anything that you want, ask it of me. And I promise you that I will answer them according to what I know is best for you. But please bring me your requests. We know we're not deserving of this, and yet God stirs up our hearts to bring our requests to him and make them known for him, confident that he will do what he's promised us. Our Lord Jesus today instructs us in this precious gift that we know as prayer. It's really a wonderful gift. He says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It's so neat how this is just this private conversation between you and the great King above all things sitting on the throne in heaven. So what can we say about this gift of prayer? First of all, it's a very expensive gift. It's a very expensive gift. It cost the blood of the Son of God. That's what paid for it, for you to be able to talk to the ear of God. It's also a very exclusive gift. It's given only to those who trust in Christ alone for their hope of heaven. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that includes prayer as well. It also comes with certain directives. We are to make our requests according to the will of God and say, thy will be done. We are also not to just think that by vain repetition and by using multiple words, somehow that's going to have an effect. We all also are not ever instructed by God to make our prayers to his saints in heaven instead of him. In fact, our Lord Jesus says, you ask the Father through me because of the work that he's done for us on the cross. Jesus himself would often employ prayer, as we find out in the Bible. Many times we're told that Jesus went off alone to pray. Now think of that, the Son of God himself, second person of the Trinity, in human form here on earth, chooses to pray. What does that say to us, weak, sinful human beings, mortal people that we are? That if the Son of God would use this gift. We're told that Jesus even informed Peter, his disciple, that he prayed for him. He said, "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." So Jesus would use this gift in the most important aspect of a person's life, and that is to keep us and preserve us in our faith. And that's really ultimately the primary cause for Jesus instructing us. The primary use that we have for prayer is to keep us preserved in this precious faith so someday we can go to heaven. Now, I know for myself, when I at times have a burst of an increased prayer life, it seems to always be linked with a strengthening time in my faith. But the vice versa is true of that too. When I seem to care less and less about my prayer life, that's often when my faith is shrinking and I'm thinking less and less about the things of God's kingdom. One of the most dangerous times for me in my personal spiritual life is when I really don't think about prayer, and when I really don't even seem to have a thought about it or a desire for it, when it barely crosses my mind. That's when my heart, my soul, starts to become the devil's playground. So utilizing this gift that God has given us is so important to help preserve us in our faith. There's an old saying in the church that goes like this: Christians fight best on their knees. Christians fight best on their knees. God has given us the gift of prayer as a wonderful tool and piece of armor for us to use in this great battle and fight. We just sang the great Lutheran chorale, "Rise to arms, with prayer employ you." That's based upon St. Paul's words in Ephesians 6, where he says, "Put on the full armor of God," and he goes through the whole array of things that we're supposed to wear. And then at the end of it, he gives this line: "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." And you can tell, I can tell, how important this gift is from God in our spiritual lives by how much the devil and my sinful flesh try to keep me from using it. You can tell what a big deal it is in our spiritual lives by how much our spiritual enemies want to take it away from us and diminish it in our thinking and in our hearts. Jesus adds this wonderful promise at the end of our text: "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Isn't that a great passage? Just hear it again. "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." That is just so reassuring and so comforting. It makes me think about a mom who's listening to her kids playing in the backyard through a screen window, and they don't know that she can hear them. And one of them starts talking to a friend about something they're going to come in and ask her. And she already knows what they're going to request, and she even knows what her answer will be. She knows what's best for them because she loves them. But she still lets the process play out. She still lets the child come into the kitchen and sit down at the table and talk to her because she loves to interact with her child. And she knows it's also instructive for the child to understand his dependency upon her. God, our Heavenly Father, knows already what we're going to ask. He knows the thoughts you're going to have even before they come into your mind. But he still requests of you, in his love for you, he still requests of you that you go through the process of bringing your petitions and requests before him from your heart, even in a private closet if you want. And he already knows how he's going to answer it. He already knows what's best for you. But prayer is not for God. It's for you. It's for me. It's for us. It's to strengthen us in our faith and to increase in us a love for our Savior through God's word so that we will someday come to heaven. The King who's freed us, the King who's promised us heaven, the King who had his Son die for us, is the one that invites us to pray. Let's take him up on it. Amen.